Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I praise God for the privilege of being back here with you once again. And how we give thanks for our beloved pastor and our beloved principal, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe, and for ordaining the ministry that the Lord has had him in over many, many years. And praise God for True Life BP Church and for the Far Eastern Bible College and for the students here who will be graduating tonight, how we give thanks. And to those who may not be studying yet, who are being convicted, we pray that the Lord will lead you to the Far Eastern Bible College. Praise God as well for the session who have a high view of God's Word. Praise God for our Chinese brethren as well. To you, Ni Hao Ma. Praise God for Brother Dennis being with us. Brother Dennis is an Aboriginal brother, and I praise God for his role at the Aboriginal Bible College in Perth. And if the Lord will, in the nearness of time, Brother Dennis will be the principal of the Aboriginal Bible College. Praise God for the week that he has spent with us studying here, and for his belief and desire, his love for the Word as it was taught to us throughout this last week, how we give thanks to God. And so I bring greetings on behalf of Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth, and I give thanks for the privilege of my wife and myself being here for this period of time. I'd like you to please turn your Bibles this morning to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and this morning's message is titled Thanksgiving for Justice. Thanksgiving for Justice, and how we give thanks for the truth of God's Word, and pray that we may be a people continually strengthened, because brethren, you are living in an exciting time. You are a privileged people, and I don't know whether you really appreciate that yet, or whether there is still some murmuring in your heart. Because the time period you're going through now is a time when you're going to need to have faith and love for God and some courage. Because if you don't have it, it's going to mess you a little. And it's going to make your hearts pretty miserable. But you're living through exciting times. And there are many of us around the world who will be praying for you. Let's look at some principles from God's Word today. Praise God for the salvation of those in our midst who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those outside of the kingdom of God who may be with us today, we give thanks for you being here. And we pray for your salvation as well. For those who may have wandered from the Lord, had the doubts, the seeds of doubts put in because you've been distracted by a few issues, we pray you'll return to the Lord and love him, because it will reflect in your lives. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through to 8. Our key verses this morning is verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. But before we do read the book of Micah, let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for every blessing bestowed upon us. We give thanks for thy goodness and for ordaining each one to be here today. For Lord, we know it is thy will for each one to be here. We give thanks that thy word does challenge us. We give thanks that thy word does encourage us. And Lord, we give thanks that we have victory in thee if we are truly born again. But we know, Lord, that there are the times when the miserableness may come in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that we be repentant of these times. We be repentant of these sins. We confess our sin, our known sin, our unknown sin, any deep-seated sin that we may be involved with, which is hindering our life. Lord, for we know that these things are seen, they are evidenced by the external. Lord, we know that there are many who cover things up so well. We know, Lord, that thou art a God who will reveal these things at thy appointed time. So I pray, Lord, that we be a people who love thee, a people who love thy word. We give thanks for all around this world who have a high view of thy word. For Lord, we know that the seeds of doubt are those which can destroy the supposed faith of many people. And Lord, how we give thanks for thy goodness to us, for the blessing of coming together on this occasion. And we do pray, Lord, for a double portion of thy unction for us as we read thy word, and Lord, as we continue to look to thee. For these things we give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word of God in Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through to 8 says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and be ye ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." Verse 5, "O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." Then we see the requirements of the Lord in verses 6 to 8. And the word of God says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Then finally, verse 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." May the Lord add his richest blessing to this reading. The prophet Micah prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And we see that in Micah chapter 1 and verse 1. This is the same time span as Isaiah's ministry. And Isaiah and Micah Micah is considered the sister of Isaiah. These books are very similar. The warnings, the pronouncements, the prophecy, and praise God for the folk who had the courage to do the challenging of the people. Now Micah lived in the southern area. So Judah is the main area in which we see these prophecies being pronounced, but they're also for the northern kingdom as well. So Micah declared the truth of God's word. Now, what was he doing? Micah pronounced judgment for continual apostasy and insincere religious observance. And by the grace of God, as we have had many folk fellowship with us over the years, down at Faith, there was a time when there was a person who continued to pray, some people who continued to pray. They knew that they were walking in their sin. They continued to do those things which are right, and they repented of them later. But the challenge was, as they were saying, "Our prayers are not answered." My wife had the courage to say, "Do you think your prayers are not answered because you are walking in rebellion?" And instead of leaving the church like most people do, they repented before God. And God saw them through the situation they were going through. And other folk helped them go through the situation they were going through, because they had the courage to admit that they were walking in rebellion. Well, Micah is challenging the leaders
Leaders, who do you think you are? You think because you have some money, because you can pay some big sacrifices, that you can walk in rebellion and lead the people astray? You cannot do it. Micah had the courage to challenge the people. He encouraged them to walk in social justice, to walk in honesty, to walk in integrity in business. Micah asked the rhetorical question as to whether he could secure God's favor by offering various kinds of sacrifices. Brethren, it has nothing to do with the sacrifices we offer. It has to do with the heart. And then the heart will reflect the goodness of the sacrifices that are offered before God. So Micah was challenging the greed of the leaders. And if you're going to challenge the greed of the leaders, you've got to be prepared for one thing. You've got to be prepared to lose your life. Didn't stop Jeremiah. Even though they placed him in a prison, he didn't stop challenging the leaders of sin. Didn't stop Micah. He continued to do the challenging. And again, praise God for the high view that the session here have of God's word. So both Micah and Jeremiah spoke of the greed of the leaders, the covetousness of the leaders, the prophets, the priests. And they challenged the prophets who were falsely promising peace as well. They had the courage to give these challenges. And so both Jeremiah actually did mention of Micah. And I'd like to read to you Jeremiah 26 and verse 18. And the word of God says, Micah, and this is in Jeremiah, he's speaking of Micah, who had the courage to do the challenging. Micah, the Morasthite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. There was a call to repentance. Micah and Jeremiah called the people to repentance. Please understand that in the end, for those who stand on the word of God, there is a blessing. And praise God for the challenges we go through, because they mold us and shape us and fit us for God's kingdom. They make us a better people if we stand and we're able to address the issues and repent before God. Not lose faith, but repent before God. So they were called to challenge the people. When Jeremiah gave the warning about the temple, about what was going to happen to the temple, what happened? The priests and the prophets and the people reported him. They reported his sermon to the authorities. And how often does that happen? It still happens when people are challenged. And when people are challenged by leaders, how many of them go about to try and destroy the leader? What are you trying to do that for? Because of your rebelliousness before God. That is why it's being done. We need to be a people who understand, if we don't have the courage to blame God, then that's a stupid thing to do. But what we tend to find is then we have the courage to blame the leaders if they are standing firm. Folks, you're living in a momentous time, an exciting time here in the church. And history will again record the contending for the faith, even as Jude does mention in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. How we give thanks for those who continue to stand firm. But the prophet Jeremiah, who wept over the sins, warned them, speaking on God's behalf, requiring them to repent. And as you have these months coming up ahead of you, it will be a blessed time. It'll be a time that draws us closer to God and draws us to pray even more so. and how we give thanks for the privilege of prayer. So some warnings are heeded, some are not. We know that the authorities allowed mercy, remembering, okay, there's a reporting. We're going to make sure that you are destroyed because of that which you are warning us of, because of that which you are preaching. But the word of God says in Jeremiah 26:24, Jeremiah was spared this time. Okay, he was spared this time. Word of God says, nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. And so you see, there was a leniency on this time, on this occasion, and praise God for that. The pride of sin is that which is contrary to the word of God. Now Uriah, a prophet who was a contemporary with Jeremiah, is a person who did warn, but he was killed by Jehoiakim. And so they do kill some. Jeremiah knew that he could lose his life. But what they did with him, as mentioned the other night, they placed him in a dungeon because it's a bloodless death. You can destroy a person by just leaving them there. You don't have to shed their blood. You can try to make them miserable, but if we believe in God, no matter where we are, we will still trust in Him. In the trials we go through, we will still trust in Him. As we read just a while ago, there was an unusual witness that Micah mentions about. And the unusual witness is that which was present even at the time of establishing the covenant with Israel. And the unusual witness was the mountains. And here we see that the mountains again are the witnesses. We see just after the mountains are the witnesses that Balaam is called upon by Balak. And Balak employed Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. But what he realized in the end was it just wasn't going to work. Yes, greed came into the issue. And he was tempted because of the greed. But folks, please understand this. Please understand the sevenfold will of God. And if you're going to go outside of the cooperative will of God, you will fall into the divine providential will. You will fall into punishment. The chastitative will. And so we have to understand that if we're going to walk against God, if we're not going to be prepared to stand up for God, we are going to fall into the chastitative will of God. And He will make us a little more miserable. He is a God who loves us, but He will make us a little more miserable until we conform to His will. Until we remove ourselves from the rebelliousness of the way in which we are walking. An insufficient sacrifice. Here we are, the leaders are calling for, are asking if they can give this large sacrifice. Well, folks, it doesn't work like that. Whatever sacrifice is insufficient for the requirements of justice. What is required is a heart that loves God, a heart of repentance before God. The demands that Micah is mentioning in chapter 6 and verse 8 are those which do link ethics with godliness and duty toward people with duty toward God. God wants the hearts of believers to be pure, to love Him as they ought. And when there is a walking justly, a walking upright, having a love for mercy, having a love for one another, having a love for the Lord, then these actions will be shown in our lives. And we will not then have to be a people who walk around in a burdensome manner. Often there are people who are intent upon their personal gain. And as they develop this attitude, so it consumes them in the end, and they cannot see the error of their way. They cannot see the sin in which they're involved in. They cannot see the covetousness in which envelopes their heart. Other people can see it, but they can't because they're so consumed in it. May we be a people who repent before God. Their own good works bring no avail to God. Their ritualistic way, manner in which they do worship God has nothing to do with that which is spiritual. Then there are those with their personal gain who usurp offices. This is the soul of sin, the sin of Saul. The sin of Saul, which not only cost him his life, but cost him the life of his armor bearer, cost him the life of his sons. And remember, the sin of Achan did not just involve himself, but involved his family as well. So please understand, if you're going to walk in the way of rebellion, if you're going to walk in a deep-seated sin, and if any in our midst today are walking in a deep-seated sin that nobody else knows of, I challenge you to repent of your ways and forsake that sin. God can help you if you are born again. We don't have to be defeated, but repent. Otherwise, it will hurt you. And it will not just hurt you, it will hurt others as your sin is exposed. Usurping an office. Saul tried it. He usurped. He did that which Samuel was meant to be involved in. Samuel, the priest. And so God rejected Saul for usurping his authority. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, 22 and 23 says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The sin of witchcraft is as the sin of divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." When the heart is so desire on personal gain, there often comes that which is dishonest gain. But we are so good at justifying our sin, taking something from somebody and then exercising a false humility and saying, "Well, it's okay. Don't keep talking about what you are speaking about. It's okay. You just continue to press on." Folks, that is a false humility. Yes, if we lose, we must walk on. But do not listen to the lies of Satan with the false humility of those people who are saying, "It doesn't matter." Exercise humility. Theirs is a false humility. I had an uncle, charismatic uncle, so humble. He was so proud of his humility. Yeah, and there's a lot of people like him as well. May we be a people who are not involved in nocturnal scheming. For these are people who go about scheming all night and then doing their sinning during the daylight. Well, you know that even King Ahab did not have the courage to keep his wicked wife in line. Jezebel, when we see the vineyard of Naboth that was wanted, Naboth was not going to give it to the king, and so she schemed at night time for him to lose his life. Word of God in 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 15 says, this is after she plotted his death. The word of God says, "And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned," she planned it, "was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." Oh, the wicked schemings that are nocturnal, the wicked schemings that are at night time. So I am sure that some people must spend all their nights awake, scheming, manipulating, working out how to manipulate people's lives rather than sleeping. No wonder they're so miserable in their walk with the Lord. The Word of God, so 3 points that come now, as Micah did mention to the people. And the first one is to act justly. Do we act justly in the way in which we live our lives? Are we fair? Are we equitable in that which we do, in our dealings with others? Justice is commanded by God. It's commanded. You know, act justly. Do we do it? They were to appoint the judges who were to be impartial. And sometimes there are those leaders who are appointed, and the pastors, as time goes past, will realize that there was not much impartiality upon those who they ordained into ministry, for they became a respecter of persons, treated everybody differently. Folks, at the church in Perth, nobody gets treated any differently. It does not matter what profession they come from, they are not treated any differently to anybody else. Everybody is treated the same. It has nothing to do with incomes as to who ends up in the session. It will often be the poorest who are the session members. Why? Because often they have a heart of humility. May our hearts be right with God. May we love God. May we act justly. So the judges were appointed. They had to be a fair people, act impartially, not take bribes, not treat the wealthy with any greater respect than anybody else. They had to be fair before God. I read to you from Deuteronomy, and the Word of God says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Deuteronomy 16 and verse 19. Other laws were also given to ensure verdicts and judgments in settling serious disputes that were too difficult for two parties to resolve. They were to bring them to the spiritual leaders, as we see in Deuteronomy 17 and Matthew 18. No false testimony was to be given. We are to act justly, walk uprightly. Giving a false testimony is a serious matter, and often, well, involves lies, involves deceit, the twisting of the truth to do what? To protect face and to protect property. Lies, that's how lies come about, because of the wickedness of men's heart. And this is why the leaders have to be careful not to be covetous in their exercising of equity amongst the people to protect face. Well, you know, the Word of God in Deuteronomy 19 said that anybody who did these things would be put to death. There'd be a lot of leaders in churches around the world put to death if that law still existed. Criminal justice was to be meted out in an equitable manner. People were to walk justly. They were to love mercy. There are many aspects of mercy. Remember that mercy comes from God and from God alone. It's the mercy of God. God's mercy is the source even of our salvation, and how we give thanks for that. And the Word of God in Titus does say, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Being justified. And this is the first issue that is required, even of the church as the Lord has established down under. The first thing for anybody to become a member, the first thing is that they be born again. There has to have been the point of justification. If there is no justification, if there was not that one point, there cannot be sanctification. You cannot invent it, folks. This is the problem in so many churches around the world, that the justification is invented. These people are not quite sure of their salvation. Being born into a Christian family does not make you, does not save you. But being born into a Christian family, a covenantal family of God, praise God, because we pray that our children will be saved. We pray for that point of salvation. For without the point, without justification, there can be no sanctification The word of God is very clear. So mercy is characterized by tenderness. It's characterized by kindness. It's characterized by forgiveness. It's characterized by compassion. But there is a false mercy as well. There is a false humility. May we be constant in our love for the Lord, understanding that Jesus Christ sits on the throne of God. By the grace of God, we had a missionary come to us over the last few years. The first time he came to us as a Baptist. The second time he came to us as a Christian. And the ministry when he was a Christian was much better, because he let go and he trusted God. And what a blessed time. We had a person minister to our YAF last year, Young Adults Fellowship. And this person, very big man, very powerful man, loves the Lord, spends his time traveling around the world, a dear brother in the Lord, said this, and I have never, ever heard this before in my life. And I thought, praise God that you have the courage to admit what you're saying. And the YAF were all there. He said, I would love to be a pastor. It was my desire to be a pastor. But he said, I have blood on my hands and I am disqualified. Folks, he had the courage to admit it. God still uses him. But you see, he understands the divine purposes of God. And praise God. And when people admit like this, there is more of a transparency in their lives and how we give thanks for the mercy of God. The mercy seat of God was that which was in the temple, the tabernacle and the temple. The Day of Atonement is the day in which the blood was taken in by the high priest just once a year and sprinkled upon the altar in the Holy of Holies, illustrative of Jesus Christ as our high priest. There we have the priesthood being superior. Today the priesthood is superior than the priesthood in the Old Testament. And how we give thanks that we can rely on God. The Christians are to be merciful. We are to be a people who love mercy. And it's actually God's mercy that allows us to continue to serve him as we ought. We are to be a people who walk humbly as well. So we are to act justly. We are to love mercy. And we are to walk humbly. And how we give thanks for those who exercise humility. But let's look at some of the things that are positive as far as humility is concerned, and what humility really is, and some of the things that humility is not. Having an overestimation of ourselves is not exercising humility. But having a lowliness of mind and esteeming others better than self is exercising humility. Humility is not self-will. It is not self-glorifying. It is not self-promoting. It is not vainglory. It is not having a haughtiness of spirit or being puffed up in pride. It is not having an apologizing, self-demeaning attitude. It is not. It is not being a coward. Folks, there are lots of people who are cowards and they say that they are being humble. A coward does not exercise humility, nor is it being timid. Humility is caring for others. Humility is submitting to God and not being rebellious. The word of God in Romans chapter 12 says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humility is giving all glory to God, glorifying God, having a high view of God's word. Humility is being obedient to God's will. Humility is walking in consciousness of God. And humility is not remaining quiet in the face of unrepentant evil. I repeat that again, because it connects with not being a coward. For those people who will not speak up when an issue needs to be dealt with, that is not exercising humility, that is being coward. For those people who exercise timidity, and you will understand the humility of our beloved pastor and principal, the grace which he extended. And please understand that humility is not remaining quiet in the face of unrepentant evil. Humility is having a teachable spirit, as everyone who claims to be a Christian while not obeying God's word is deceiving himself. Humility is the product of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in our lives, which comes at the time of salvation. And so for those people who are not saved, they cannot exercise humility, because humility comes from the Spirit of God that does indwell. Let us understand that there is a divine punishment, but the divine punishment, folks, has nothing to do with us. Vengeance belongeth to God. For the Word of God forbids us to seek revenge. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He is the supreme example of forbearing. He is the one that we have to follow. He is the one that that will meter out divine justice. Revenge was rebuked by Jesus Christ. He rebuked his disciples at the time when the Samaritans would not receive Jesus Christ. The disciples wanted Jesus Christ to punish them, to meter out revenge. Please understand, folks, this is inconsistent with a Christian spirit. It is not for us to be demanding God to deal with those who wrong us. God will do it. Please understand, if we are the ones that are praying an imprecatory prayer upon those who have done wrong to us, then we're having problems. We had some time ago, young lady who was very, very cruel to us in the ministry, very cruel. Then later came back to the church again. There were those who questioned, "Pastor, why are you assisting this person? You know, want to get hurt again?" My point is this: if I cannot forgive this person, then I cannot administer the Lord's Supper. Neither can I receive the Lord's Supper. Neither can I fly to Melbourne once every month or so, since the beloved pastor, Reverend Stephen Kuh, has been at FEBC. Neither can I fly across there to administer the Lord's Supper if I can't forgive somebody who has wronged me. God will deal with them. But a few months ago in the church, there was repentance. And this young lady and her fiancé repented before God. The tears just continued to flow. And as he, during the service, as he came up and as he came forward, he hugged me. And the tears just actually ran down the front of my suit. And I didn't realize. And after, my wife said, "What happened to your suit?" And here's all these white specks down the front of my suit. It was the salt from his tears. Folks, if you come across somebody who is repenting before God and they are weeping, don't stop them from weeping. Don't give them a tissue too soon, because they need to. It's a part of the cleansing that God has. Why do we stop God's work so often? Let them repent before God. Don't stop weeping, folks, because it's for a reason. Pray for folks. Yes, there will always be people in trouble. We had a phone call last night, 11:45, not from somebody that you would know, but somebody that we knew whilst we were studying across here, rang in tears. You can't stop them from talking. Let them talk it out, because it's needful. May we understand that revenge belongeth to the Lord. It is not for us. Revenge is inconsistent with a Christian spirit. revenge proceeds from a spiteful heart. And likewise, the Philistines will be punished for hating the Israelites. So if you have a hatred for so many folks, God will deal with you, and we will have a miserable heart. Now remember the Edomites. The Edomites, who were related to Jacob, related to the Israelites, had an unrelenting anger toward Jacob's descendants. Why? Because of something that happened many generations ago. And they didn't let go. They continued on with this unrelenting hatred. And what did God do? Destroyed them. Folks, let's make sure our hearts are right with God. Let's press on. You're living through an exciting time now, and God will see you through. And praise God for that. As we draw to a conclusion, please understand, if you dig a pit for somebody else, you will actually fall in it. For those who dig a pit for you, they will fall in it. Please understand, God meters out justice. God is our refuge. He is a very present help in trouble. And how we give thanks that He will deliver us from the cruelty of leaders. He will deliver those who exercise false humility and usurp positions. God will deal with in His punitive and in His chastity will. For those people who believe that they're doing God's work but are doing their work for God, He will deal with them. Stubbornness and rebellion and a rebellious generation that God deals with. God answers prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. When we call upon Him, He will answer our prayer in a mighty way, in ways that we have not known. At this point in time, although we don't know certain things which will happen in these months ahead, God knows. God may be moving the hearts of some of you now as to what happens in these months ahead. God will provide a way for you, and praise God for that. And how we give thanks for justice, to walk justly. How we give thanks for justice, God will meter out His justice. And how we give thanks for that. God is not a respecter of persons. And please understand this, that those people who have invoked a woe upon themselves, God will deal with. Finally, if we be a people who remove the ancient landmarks, then a woe will be placed upon us. I give thanks for a beloved principal. Back in 1995, I was walking past him as he was standing at the gates of Beulah House, which was for FEBC, which is for FEBC. Standing there, and I walked past and said, "Reverend Toe, please pray for me as I do my languages, as I start with Greek. Please pray that I pass." Reverend Dr. Timothy So said, "Brother, never pray for a pass." And I'm thinking, why is he saying this? And he said, "You pray for 100%. Because if you do not get 100%, then you're teaching error. If you get 99, it's 1% error. You get 90%, 90% in Greek and Hebrew, then it's 10% error. You cannot afford to preach error." And praise God for the high view of God's word. May the Lord strengthen us, and may we understand that God never moves without purpose or plan. Thanksgiving for the justice of God. You'll see it. For those who invoke a woe upon themselves, a miserable people, they will be now or in the future. There is a divine justice. Let's give thanks for justice. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for Thy goodness to us, and we do confess our sin before Thee, giving thanks that Thou art a God who is able and just to forgive. I give thanks for the exciting time the folk here are living in, and pray, Lord, that they have the courage, the faithfulness, the love for Thee to stand firm. And if they're wavering just a little at this time, I pray, Lord, that they will have the courage to love Thee, and they'll walk justly. Lord, we give thanks for Thy justice, for Thy mercy, for Thy love, and Thy compassion. May they act justly, may each one of us. May we love mercy, and may we walk humbly. We give thanks for divine justice, and for the fact that we must walk as a just people ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.